today I'd like to share a little bit on being kind. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm going to go through some examples of people that loved God and were kind. So manifested God's kindness. So we'll start off in 2 Corinthians. Please. Chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So God wanted us in his family. He reconciled us, he brought us to his family, and then he gave us the ability to bring other people to his family. And then in verse 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." And I thought, what a great, kind act that is. He doesn't want us as his kids to impute. And that word imputing means to take inventory of people's faults, basically. So, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we got this great God that doesn't want us, and he doesn't do that to us. He doesn't impute or take record of our faults and our shortcomings. That is very kind. Verse 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And the righteousness is right, the right to stand before God, right? That with no sense of sin or guilt or condemnation. And I think it's just wonderful that God says right there that he doesn't keep track of it. Remember the verse, "He cast our sins as far as the east is and the west," right? As far as the east is from the west. And those two never meet, so that's pretty far. So that's a wonderful, kind thing that God does for us as people. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, it says, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved," that's us, "let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So we know that this great God that just has this great, wonderful love for us, and he wants us to have it to each other. That's great kindness. And I love that beloved means dear ones. We are dear to God. He loves us so much. In Psalm, turn to Psalm 145. And here's a great example of kindness, God's kindness for us and to each other. In Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." And that mercy means exceeding kindness. And God is full of that, and he's given it to us too. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies," his tender kindnesses, "are over all his works." And we are part of his works. And I wanted to read just two sections in Genesis, one in chapter 40 and one in chapter 45. And if you don't know the record of Joseph and his coat of many colors, Joseph went through some trials and tribulations. He he had brothers who sold him into slavery, and then he got wrongly accused of things by, what was his name, Potiphar's wife, and got sent to prison. And he also got forgotten about in prison when he helped people out. They said he, you know, they mentioned him to Pharaoh, and just got forgot about. But look at in chapter 40, and in verses 1 through 8. Have to get there first. These were two of, let me just read it. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." That's where Joseph was bound because he got wrongfully accused. He got set up. "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison." And this is, I just thought this was so wonderful. Verse 6, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad." Joseph had care and kindness and compassion to these guys, even in the midst of being in prison, being, you know, and all the things that he that happened to him, he was still able to show his kindness and his care and his concern. And when it says, "and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad," he gave them his attention, even in the midst of all that was went wrong with him. And verse 7, "And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Why, wherefore you look so sadly today?" Like he could have just said, "Look, I got my own problems. You know, I'm in here, I don't want to be in here," and all of this other stuff. But he showed his care and concern for them. "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And he goes on to tell them their dreams. One interpretation was great for the guy, and the other one was not so great. But and those are the guys that promised that if, you know, when they got out, they'd mention it to the Pharaoh. And they forgot. In chapter 45, we're going to read 1 through 8 here, too. This is after Joseph interprets dreams for Pharaoh about there are going to be 7 years of famine, 7 years of great, wonderful profit, and 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh puts him in charge of everything, and he figures the whole thing out because, you know, he walked with God. He did what God told him. And then he kind of messes with his brothers a little bit, who came to Egypt to get some food and stuff from him. But then in verse 1, he has his brothers before him, the ones that sold him into slavery, that didn't like him at all. And here it is. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all men that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." They were shaking in their boots because they were thinking he's going to seek revenge. And it didn't happen. "And for Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." He did remind him of it a lot, though. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He could have looked at it a totally different way, but he continued to show God's kindness and love and compassion, even to his brothers, that didn't do very well to him. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, and this is Jesus Christ talking, again, the red letters, verse 43, sorry. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That to me is a tall order. Mm-hmm. To pray for them which despitefully use, but the way God has it planned, that's to show his kindness, because we have his spirit in us. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And that's God just showing you how kind he is. He takes care of people, and he takes care of his people especially. In Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 6, verse 32 through 35, it says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank of ye? That's easy to do. If you love someone that loves you, that's pretty simple. For sinners also love those that love them, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank of ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank of ye? For sinners also lend to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Because God is going to reward you, not the person. And that word great is a great word. It means plenty, much, and often. And that's always the case with God, with his goodness towards us, his kindness. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And that word merciful is partly kindness. Go to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 35. This is another wonderful example of God's kindness and Christ's kindness. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them and said, why are you guys being so wimpy? Why are you all tired? Come on. I'm out here. I'm doing my thing. You can stay awake and not faint. No, he didn't say that. He moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So he had compassion on them. He took care of them. He helped them. And not only did he help them, he saw the future, that there's going to be people that are going to need help. And he told his disciples to pray for more people, for more laborers to help them. That's great kindness. In Titus chapter 3. And Jesus Christ is the best example of kind. He took care of people like no one else. Titus. Timothy, Titus, where are you? Titus chapter 3. And in verse 1 through 8, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But we were like that, but after that, the kindness, the usefulness, the moral excellence, and love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared. Just appeared there. When we received Holy Spirit, we got that wonderful kindness and love in us. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I love this verse here. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And I got this nice translation out of the Journey Through Acts and the Epistles, Walter Cummins. It says, it says, the word is faithful, and I desire that ye strongly affirm these things to the end, that those who have believed in God may think carefully about maintaining good works. These things are good and profitable for the people. So it's good for God's people to just keep affirming his word and doing good works, not to get into God's family, but to bless God's family, to be kind to God's family. And I love that. Think carefully about maintaining them. So he just wants us to think on his word and what his word can do for us and to each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry. Did I scare you?
Yeah.
Sorry. Come on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, yeah. And verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you. That gentle means mild or kind. We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. And that word cherisheth is to long for. So, being affectionately desirous of you. Now, that's what affectionately desirous means, to long for. Sorry. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Not only did they give people these wonderful examples give people God's word, but they gave of their own souls. They helped each other. That is wonderful. In Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And in verses 9 and 10. And it says here that it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So God wants us to be good to all, like he said in those other verses. He's good to all. He maketh the rain and the sun upon the good, the evil, and he wants us to do the same. But he wants us to be especially good unto each other, unto this wonderful household. In Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, and in verse 17, it says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." And that word pity means, doesn't mean like you pity someone, but it had, one of the definitions was that you bend in kindness, you're bending down to really hear the person and really help him with his needs. And then that word lendeth in verse 17 again, pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, which means to twine. That means you abide with the Lord because you're doing his will. And then in Proverbs chapter 21, a couple of chapters over, 21:21 says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy," which is kindness, "findeth life." And that word means life to the fullest. "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor," which that honor is splendor. And then lastly, here in Proverbs 31, you know, is about the virtuous woman. And in this verse here, it's so beautiful because it says, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness," which just means it's the teaching of kindness. And that's what you wonderful women do for God. And I'm so thankful for that. Okay?